back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Hello, Jennifer Curtin. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm freezing, but I'm good.
Now, that's not the government's fault.
No, it's not the government's fault.
But once again, we find ourselves in a funny old political situation, don't we? As if we didn't already have enough of a hassle of a housing crisis. Now all the houses that were contaminated with methamphetamine are okay in the first place, and everyone knew about it, and who didn't know about it, and what's the last government doing, and who swept it under the who, and who got the back battery, and whose backhanders, and what's going on?
Yeah, there's a lot more to come out. I think it's just on so many levels. It sounds like so many balls have been dropped. I mean, we know that the Ministry of Health back in 2010 encouraged councils to think about how they managed issues around meth, but no guidelines were put out. And then we see this sort of
until the meth testing industry people put out their own guidelines.
Yeah.
And everyone just went with that.
I know. I mean, and even yesterday we saw that one key representative, if you like, of the meth testing industry came out and was really criticising the Chief Science Advisor's report and how they'd gone about getting their research and evidence, and that, you know, people would still want to do this kind of meth testing for reasons other than health. It's really just, you know, it looks...
I mean, I'm sure they would, but you would... Surely you would want, if you were doing it, say, just to know, you know, I guess if you're a landlord or you want to buy a house or something like that, and you feel like, you know, it's your right to know that
absolutely.
Know.
It's a free market. It's just,
but you want the people that are doing the testing to be under some sort of, you know, some pretty strict protocol. You know, not just a bunch of dudes to go yep or nah.
Yep. Yeah, or here's the self testing kit. And I mean, I think the thing is that what was going on before is, you know, and not just for Housing New Zealand, but also for private landlords. You know, tenants would leave, and then the meth testers would come in, and they'd be told that it was in a really bad situation, and they would have to spend thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah, you spend $189 for five swabs. And then, oh, look at that. Yeah, we've found it's come up positive there. And, I know you probably can't see it, but we're professionals. And it's come up, it's exceeded the limits that we set for ourselves. And so you're going to need the $1,500 clean. And then halfway through that, this is what happened to a guy that I know.
Yeah.
Halfway through that, so they go, well, I mean, we're doing the best we can, but we can't guarantee it. You may have to go $3,500 clean.
Yep, it was a real...
What a great big scam, but it's been a scam for the whole time, and the numbers, you could read that in the numbers, like right back at the start, you know?
Yep, but I mean, you do have to wonder whether or not, like, what the government, the former government, was doing with science advisors, if they didn't know the details on how best to manage, you know, contamination or measure it and so on, that... You know, like, there are science advisors, not just in Gluckman's, the senior one, but there are in a range of different departments, including social development. Interestingly, housing didn't have a science advisor, but there were plenty of others that, you know, the science advisors had to wait for the government to ask them to say, you know, could you go check this out? Now, there's, you know, in my view, no reason why they, you know, they're paying really good scientists to do this work and to check evidence so they can do evidence-informed policy making. So before they set the standard of 8510, whatever the code is...
And kicking people,
you know,
out of homes and 2 stuff.
2 years ago, before they start, kicking people. Maybe they wanted to just, you know, recommend that somebody go do some research on this, you know, people on their payroll, and check it out.
There's no doubt whatsoever that's methamphetamine or as the media keep, like, can call it, pee.
Yeah.
Which I don't know why we do that. But there's no doubt whatsoever that it is really dangerous. It's a really strong, dangerous, money making, and damaging, community damaging drug. You know, and so the last government said that they were going to really come down on it. You wait till you see what we do. And it turns out that not only did they not do anything, it's they ignored this side of it as well and fed the hysteria, which is the bit that the bit that I'm most interested in, is like is that like all the testing hysteria, the you know, the black mark that'll be on someone who's been kicked out of the house, a house that was tested positive, for every for even more renting houses, you know, that sort of thing. That's pretty full on. It's like the peripheral damage that was done by not getting this, making people accountable for exactly what was going on was pretty huge, I think.
Yeah, and it fed a broader, you know, a broader pitch, if you like, that the previous government had been running around on people, you know, on the tough on crime, first of all, you know, so they were really strong in that space. But also, in different elections between 2011 and 2017, they were running tough on beneficiaries, tough on those who weren't getting out to work. So it was sort of really going hard on, you know, the broad group.
No one's going to get a free ride anymore.
Yeah. And so this broader, you know, tough on meth, get people out of social housing if they don't, and state housing if they don't measure up on some, you know, specific test. It didn't sit at odds in any way with their broader agenda. It's really interesting to see in the last couple of days that they've come, you know, sitting politicians in the opposition who were implicated in this tough on meth kind of approach have now said, no, we had really wanted Housing New Zealand to be clearer, and, you know, we were really frustrated by this, but
that's a load of crap.
It's kind of like, a little bit, it's not a good look. There's nobody sort of fessing up and saying, yeah, we messed up here. So now these poor people have to wait and to see what the review will say, to see if they can get some money back, to see if they can get their names cleared.
And landlords that have because of the panic and the hysteria and the poor information, have, you know, paid thousands of dollars to get it done as well, and, you know, and made changes to the houses, you know.
And
I mean, I'm not very sympathetic to landlords, to be honest, it's a big, wide-ranging scam, you know?
Well, and insurance premiums have gone up as a result, so there's those costs which get passed on to tenants, right? And then, you know, you think about some people now have gotten really strict, so they're sort of doing sort of potential, I don't know, meth profiling on potential tenants to say, well, you know, if you even look like you potentially might smoke meth, you're not getting, you know. So you could just, the implications of this are really, 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 you know, long and wide and quite scary, really.
All right, Jennifer, let's change tack. And what was this fair pay agreement that just sort of erupted yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that just popped out of nowhere.
So we've got some new industrial relations legislation that's already been passed in terms of getting rid of the 90-day sacking rule for people, you know, for firms that have got more than 20 employees, I think. But the fair pay agreements have not been put in place yet. There's this review, and really what they are is to try and get more sector-wide or industry-wide, you know, bargaining options for not just unions and employers, but also they're going to, you know, have an employment relations authority, which is kind of like putting the government back in, so it's a bit more tripartite. And it's not just about pay, it's putting back in, you know, minimum conditions, minimum allowances and weeks and weekend and night rates and hours of work and leave arrangements and that sort of thing, to try and get away from everything being individualised and, you know, employers just going for the absolute minimum. So they're trying to kind of...
And employees just going for industrial action.
Yeah, so they're taking out that, you know, they won't be able to strike. But, I mean, really, I suppose the cool thing or the interesting thing is putting, you know, former National Prime Minister Jim Bolger, who's now 83, in charge of the review that's going to look at how to implement these.
He's chuffed, isn't he?
Yeah, no, I mean, this is the third time he's apparently kind of, you know, taken up a role with Labour that since being Prime Minister, that's really kind of done the finger at National. So he did it on Kiwi Rail, and there was another board or...
It's a good earn.
Yeah, so, but I mean, you know, I don't know if you've listened to, they did this ninth floor conversational series with former prime ministers about, you know, what they are proud of and what they feel didn't work. And Bulger's narrative in this has been, he felt neoliberal economics in the 90s went too far. And,
yeah,
and that it did leave those who were already, you know, not particularly well off, worse off. And so you do wonder if he's got a bit of an interest in pulling the country back to some kind of equilibrium that's
guilt.
Fairer.
Do you think it's guilt?
Well, I don't know if it's guilt, because he didn't look particularly guilty at the press conference. But, you know, it does make you wonder if he's not as ideologically, you know, tied to the neoliberal economic kind of 90s legacy that perhaps some others still are.
All right, finally, Winston Peters is going to be the Prime Minister very shortly, as soon as that baby's born. Anything we should be prepared for there?
I think Labor have pretty much organised it in such a way that Ardern, even though she's going to be on...
She'll be back after a week, do you think?
Well, she's got her chief of staff is going to be meeting with Peters every day and keeping an eye on things. And so I'm not sure how much leeway he's going to have to kind of go off message. I'm not sure he'd really want to either. This is his moment to shine.
Do you think?
And he's been waiting to do this for ages, right? That's what everyone's saying, that he's always wanted to be PM. So he'll get his moment, but also if he does it really well, that's a good legacy for him.
Yeah, good job. Good job, eh?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, thank you very much, Jennifer.
No
you have
worries.
A wonderful week, and we'll speak to you again in a couple of weeks' time.
Okay, ciao.
Bye-bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.